Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 11 through chapter 12, verse 9. The Reverend Dr. Ross Johnson is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Our epistle lesson for today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at the first verse. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up into the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which a man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weakness. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would not be speaking the truth, but refrain from it, so no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelation, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, peace, and mercy to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's epistle lesson is about St. Paul's thorn in the flesh and what all of this means, what it meant to him, and what it means to us in our life today. This is one of those Bible verses that I remember back so clearly to when I was in seminary and doing all kinds of research, trying to find out what was St. Paul's thorn in the flesh? What was this thorn in the flesh all about? So I went to the library and I started looking through all these different books, trying to figure out what this thorn in the flesh really is. Some commentators would say that the thorn in the flesh that St. Paul was dealing with could have been blindness. Because at the end of one of his letters, he says, "See that I am writing to you in large letters, in my own hand." And that could have been the case. It would have been very realistic that St. Paul would have dealt with eye deterioration because of not having glasses and modern conveniences that we have today. Not being able to read and write would have been a thorn in the flesh, possibly. Others give the possible explanation that the thorn in the flesh could have been some kind of lingering ailment from an injury that he sustained from the multiple beatings and being left for dead as a Christian. Some other commentators said maybe what he was dealing with was Christian persecution, because he says, "Watch out for Alexander the coppersmith, because he did me great harm." Maybe it was Christian persecution that was St. Paul's thorn in the flesh. Others have said maybe it is loneliness. Maybe he was dealing with loneliness because we believe that he was single during his missionary journeys for years of his life. The thing is, we don't know exactly what St. Paul's thorn in the flesh was. But there was something that he was praying about multiple times, something that was keeping him humble, that the Lord didn't take away from him. Ultimately, St. Paul found his comfort in the grace of God. And just as I know that St. Paul had thorns in his flesh, and I don't know what they were, I know that you also deal with thorns in your flesh. But I'm not sure what those are either. And maybe nobody knows what's going on inside or in your life, except for you and maybe the Lord. Maybe those thorns in the flesh that you deal with are health struggles, some things that you're overwhelmed by. Maybe or thorn in the flesh is family issues that you struggle with, or loneliness or grief that you're dealing with. You see, I don't know your thorns exactly, but I know that you have them in your life, and that those thorns, that pain, that suffering, that turmoil that you're going through, feels real. But happily, remember that God has not abandoned you. We can learn from St. Paul to pray, and ultimately to find our comfort in the grace of God. In today's epistle lesson, St. Paul is giving you the reality of the Christian life. He's being direct with you. He's being honest with you. He explains that the life of an apostle, the life of a Christian, is not always full of those mountaintop experiences that we love to have and to feel. But St. Paul is warning you, so don't be surprised when you suffer in this life. St. Paul is warning you, don't be surprised at all when you feel the persecution for the faith. We're receiving a warning from St. Paul that in this life you will experience things such as the aging of your own body, or as your body starts to betray you and let you down. St. Paul also warns you, so we should not be surprised when we have conflicts with our friends and our families. When we struggle in this life, it's easy to fall into the trap of thinking that it's all God's fault, or that God must want me miserable, that God enjoys my misery. But nothing could be farther from the truth. We all have these thorns in our life, and these thorns in our life are because of sin. And sin is the very thing that God hates more than anything else. God hates the sin and its effects in your life. God hates it when you're stabbed in the back by those who are your friends or co-workers or family members. God hates divorce and what it does to you, your family members, your loved ones, your finances. God hates death, even death itself. God hates the sin of this world. However, we have comfort in the fact that God still works out all those things for the good of those who love Him. You see, sin and suffering, they weren't part of God's intention for this world. They were a result of the sin that entered into this world all the way back in the Garden of Eden. God, in His love for Adam and Eve, He warned them. He warned them directly, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Evil, because as soon as you do, you will surely die. And all of us know the rest of the story. That Adam and Eve, they went against the clear teachings and word of God in His warning, and the consequence was spiritual death. And now we all live in a sinful, broken world where we're all suffering and we're all spiritually dying and slowly physically dying. I think that we can learn a lot about how St. Paul lived in this sinful world, even as he was living with agonies in this life. St. Paul's first response to his thorn in the flesh was to pray. And at first, when we read this scripture, it appears that God didn't listen to St. Paul's prayers at all, and that St. Paul had to pray to God over and over again, at least three times for God to respond. But you see, that's not exactly what was happening. God was listening to St. Paul's prayers, just as God listens to your prayers. And God was responding to St. Paul and his prayers, just as God responds to your prayers. The Lord told St. Paul three different times, "My grace is sufficient to you. My power is made perfect in your weakness." Then, when I first read this verse years and years and years ago, decades ago, the initial thought that I thought was that St. Paul was being dismissed by God, or being blown off by the Lord, like, hey, don't worry about it, just suck it up, it's going to be okay. But the Lord's response to St. Paul was not flippancy, it was not dismissal, it was not abandonment, it was comfort. The grace of God is that God has ultimately conquered the sin of this world and the work of Satan in your life. But in the times of your weakness, in the times of your struggles, in the times of your sadness, It's when we often look to God closest. When everything is stripped away, we often look to God and realize His power, His awesomeness, His love, because sometimes in this life, God is the only thing we have left. And when we're humbled by the work of the devil, God is all of a sudden exalted and made more important in our life. And when we're humbled by the work of the devil, God all of a sudden is exalted, and we're humbled by the work of the devil, and He becomes greater to us. When we're humbled by the work of the devil, all of a sudden our lives begin to make sense, and we have perspective that we're not here for the big house, the fancy car, the luxurious meals, the prestigious job, but rather we're here on earth to worship the Lord and to serve our neighbor as ourselves. I think it's so interesting that in one of the moments of St. Paul's greatest weakness, God, in His grace, He pulls back the veil of heaven and He pulls back the veil of eternity, and He allows St. Paul to see a little glimpse of heaven and to see paradise through his earthly eyes. St. Paul tells us that this life is just but a vapor. It's here today and then it's gone tomorrow. And then St. James, he gives us the eternal perspective to realize that this life passes by in the blinking of an eye. St. James reminds us that our life isn't all about the things of this world, which really don't matter, but rather we're here on earth to worship the Lord and to serve others. Our hope as Christians is the same as St. Paul's. He placed his comfort, his faith, in the grace of God and in heaven, not into the people and the things of this sinful, broken world. You see, Christians, your hope is in heaven. Your hope is in the resurrection, where there will be no longer any sin or the consequences of sin. Because in the resurrection, you'll have bodies, but they'll be perfect bodies without deterioration, without any pain or suffering in them. When you're in the resurrection, you'll be with all of your friends and all of your family, all your loved ones who die in the one true Christian faith. There will no longer be fighting amongst each other. As Christians, we don't place our faith in our jobs, because as we've seen this last year in 2020, that jobs can be lost so quickly. As Christians, we don't place our hope and our faith into our friends, because even our friends sometimes disappoint us. They let us down. As Christians, we don't place our faith and our hope and our trust in our own bodies, because all of our bodies will let us down. We don't place our faith and our hope even in our family members that we love more than anything, because even our family members at times can treat us poorly, can treat us badly, can hurt us. But rather, we place our trust and our hope and our love into our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ alone. Jesus Christ, your Savior, will never disappoint you. Jesus Christ, who is your Lord and Savior, will never abandon you. Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, He is the one who is always with you. Even in the times of your most intimate, difficult sufferings, Jesus knows exactly what's going on. So in conclusion, as we think about St. Paul and his struggles in this life, and his thorn in the flesh, and his high moments and his low moments, when you feel like St. Paul, tired and tested by this sinful and broken world, we can take comfort that God also hates the sin in your life that you're struggling with. God also hates the sin in your life that other people are committing. And when people stab you in the back and betray you, God hates that as well. Jesus Christ, your Lord, He understands what you suffer with every single day. Remember, Jesus knows what it's exactly like to be without a whole lot of money. Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, knows exactly what it's like to be hungry. Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, He knows what it's like to be betrayed by His closest of friends. Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, knows exactly what the most difficult, meaningful agony is to go through as He suffered and died on the cross to give you forgiveness and everlasting life. Your Lord not only understands you and your pains and your sufferings, but he rescues you from them. He rescues you from sin and from everlasting eternal death by his death on the cross for you. Not only does Jesus give you forgiveness and grace, he also gives you the hope of heaven, where you will one day be in the presence of your Lord and Savior, where you will be completely absent from your thorns and from the sufferings of this world. And for that, we say, Lord, Maranatha, come quickly. Now may this grace, which surpasses all of our human and earthly understanding, may it guard your hearts, may it guard your minds, through Jesus Christ, who is this world's only Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Paul Rockroar, who is deployed. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.